Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to chat with a friend of mine, Carla Lundblade. Carla is a Beverly Hills clinical therapist. I'm out of breath. I was running around before I got on the show. And she specializes in sports and celebrity psychologies. She has been involved in sports her entire life and understands the strong demands placed on highly successful athletes. Carla has also worked with some of the best athletes in the U.S. And over the years, she has worked in areas of, baseball, softball, basketball, football, marathon, golf, volleyball, swimming, track field, and tennis, none of which I participate in, by the way. I am not an athlete. I don't even know why we're talking about this today. But in addition, her client list has also included attorneys, musicians, dancers, models, corporate executives, and Hollywood actors. So she's a well-rounded person, as you can tell. Each person performs daily in their work and can utilize effective mental skills training to enhance their performance. And we've talked about that before. Today, however, we are going to discuss the very dangerous waters and what happens when your vocation and your life go into celebrity. Carla, thank you so much for being with me here today. I love chatting with you. I just have the best time.
Oh, we have a good time together, don't we?
We do. Too good, I'm afraid. We always get way off track, just so the audience knows.
I don't want to be tardy to the party.
No.
Which will tell you some of the television I've been watching lately. But I do apologize. I do have bronchitis. And so I will do my best not to cough your ear off, but I really think that the information that we're going to talk about today is going to be a little unique. And I know a lot of young people especially who are looking at their careers and really looking towards celebrity and thinking, oh, when I just make it, everything will be fine, when actually the opposite can be true. So I'm going to let you in on some industry secrets.
Well, and it's interesting that you should, thank you, but it's interesting you should say that too, because I think that mindset kind of applies to just darn near everything. You know, I know young girls, I'm watching young girls, this is the marriage season. I work, some of my clients are caterers and wedding planners, and I see some of these comments that are coming through, and they're like, you know, just once I get married, everything is going to be perfect. Holy crap, are you crazy? So, you know, I think that that's, and I think that applies to just about everything. You're always kind of waiting for that specialized, I don't even know what the word for it is, but that unique circumstance is just going to bring it all together. And that doesn't work, does it, Carla?
No, and I think it's, you know, working in your career and managing your private life, especially when you're doing something that's going to eventually be in the public eye, there's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice involved. So I think, you know, quite honestly so, and you know, it's an important thing. You think you get to that celebrity point, and you can take a break and finally
have some choice into
how you spend your time. Well, you go from, you know, you break the sound barrier at that point, and then your work and the demands and everything are actually more. And what's interesting is sometimes what happens in the people that have been in your life, how they change based on what's happening to you. And that can be a very tumultuous, a very difficult time. And I think if you expect it and understand your leadership position in it, then it helps you navigate it much better. You know, forewarned is forearmed. Like I say, the best offense is always a good offense. You know, let's just start off there and see what we can shake loose. But in that, you really have to keep to who you are as a person, what your values are, and what you've decided for yourself are the important things that you want to leave behind at the end of your career, your legacy. So young people know this information already. They already know. You know, you and I were talking about Manuel Mitchell, who was my surprise. I love bringing surprises. I hope I have another surprise for you today. But Manuel Mitchell, the Olympic silver medalist who broke his legs, still kept running, and because of that, we have a silver medal. He was a fantastic guest, but one of the things that's really amazing about him is he has a graduate degree, not just a bachelor's degree, and I think that's pretty amazing. And then in addition to that, the service that he does in the community for young people and organizations is very, very important to him. And he's, you know, 25 years old. Mm-hmm. So young people at the beginning of their careers really do have the values that are important. Of course, I have to say this, he has recently joined with Michelle Obama, and they're doing an amazing project together. So you can still be who you are. You can still go through the highs and the lows, and we're going to talk about that and how you navigate that. Be human. Be open. Be authentic, because everybody really is looking for a hero, and they really are looking for the underdog. So your career does not have to be perfect. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does, because, look, I have paralyzed myself with perfection before. I'm trying to recover from perfectionism, along with workaholism. I've got a couple of isms.
That's a lot of isms.
Yeah, I got it. And they're biggies, too. But, you know, the thing is, I mean, if you strive for perfectionism, you will sit on your lily pad like a toad, and you'll never get anywhere.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And with professional athletes especially, they can look at their perfection moment by moment, stat by stat. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned the perfect word, paralyzing. It really is paralyzing, and it is counterproductive to your performance. And so once you get that, once you get that that's a reframe, once you're able to withstand the pitfalls that are naturally going to happen, you know, you're not better than anybody else. We all have to sit in it from time to time. We all have to deal with stuff that's not positive. And when you get okay with that and you celebrate that, and then you're also open to see what spontaneous changes in your life that can happen that can be positive because of it, it becomes a brand new world and a brand new career.
Here, I could imagine. Here's a question. I think it must be difficult to remain true to who you really are once you're surrounded by sycophants, you know, once you're surrounded by managers and fans and people who are not fan, and they're, you know, they're trying to tear you down. How do you teach people to stick with their core values? And let's face it, some people, some athletes, some very well-known people, their core values suck from where I stand. And I'll just put it right out there. Yeah, so I don't think there's a heck of a lot you can do to help those people. They're just nasty people. That's who they are. But I think the ones that I'm asking about are the ones like, you know, the young man that you just mentioned who has this great personality. He's young, he's hardworking, he's concerned for his, not only himself, but his community. I mean, he is a great guy. I've spoken with him. You brought him on my show. I mean, what a tremendous young man. These are the people I would think struggle the most because they're very cognizant of the negativity around them. Or am I just way off base?
Well, you know, you brought up a couple of interesting things, and, you know, the first thing...
Good for me. Yeah. I'll be quiet now.
No, I think three,
cool.
Maybe. So keep me on track, because I'll forget as we go. But I think the first thing is the public image versus who you are privately. Oftentimes, first off, you know, everyone's going to make mistakes. I recently commented to a medical company. Doctors are also who I advise on how to deal with, you know, when things go wrong in your career. If, for example, medical doctors, just like professional athletes and celebrities, perform their work in the public eye. And to think that they are going to have a whole career where maybe there's not a mistake made or something go bad, or maybe something goes bad, you weren't necessarily responsible for it, but you feel guilty about it, that can derail the rest of your medical career and what you're able to provide in very good ways to the rest of us over that time. So, you know, especially with doctors, where it's life and death oftentimes that is determines the success or failure. You know, when you think about a human being behind that job and really the imperfection of medicine, and if you are somebody that strives for perfection, you could see where that could really derail your career, especially if it's something that happens early on. So support, reframe, you know, working through a career trauma, which is kind of a different way of looking at maybe a stumble in your career, working through it as a trauma and coming through it instead of suppressing it and trying to hide it. Those are two different ways, and you will have a different career based on the decision you make. You will have a different private life based on the decision you make. So, first off, perfectionism's out the window. Second off, let's look at media. What does media do? I mean, it starts
don't ask
with,
me,
you
I
know,
don't like them.
A salt grain of truth, and then expands from there. And the most sensational stories are the ones, unfortunately, that are most remembered and probably the least likely to be true. So oftentimes what you see and what you judge about a person behind the scenes is not even based on fact. And it's an interesting thing, human to human, psychologically speaking, even when we communicate with each other, how much do you think, you know, when one person says something to the other person, how much do you think the other person actually hears? What percentage of what you communicate does the other person pick up or get?
In my experience, it's very, very little. In my experience, people listen to tone. They listen to how you're conveying the information. They don't necessarily hear the sentence structure or even the information you're conveying. They're listening to your tone. They're listening to, they're, I think, feeling it rather than hearing it.
You're right. And under the best of,
cool.
A body language and tone and facial expressions especially, but under the best of conditions, what you convey to the world, you know, your partner, your children, your personal friends, is about 50% of what you're actually saying. So
I didn't think
realize,
it was that high, to be honest. I really
That's the statistics, and then that's, you know, somebody maybe who's a great communicator. So then when you apply that to media and then you not having your own voice, you know, when I see somebody in the public eye that's struggling, I'm seeing somebody that is in a personal crisis of some kind. And almost always, without exception, there is a personal trauma or something that has happened in their past that they have defined themselves in a certain way. Mm. And that rather than dealing with it, moving through it, and there's some really difficult things that happen to some very public people that we know that they don't share. You know, I tell you from my chair, the things that I hear, the things that I see, I'm very honored to do the job that I do because I can help release people who are almost captive in the public eye. You know, how are you in the public eye, and then how do you deal with a trauma that has happened in your past that you need to work through? And then who do you call? Who do you call? Who do you trust? And how do you move through something that impacted you and changed who you are? And then if you have a current media issue or a stumble in your career, how do you get back to your values? How do you accept being human and then portray that in the media? So you end up having a very positive story at the end. How do you do all that? You know?
Well, you know, one thing comes to mind, and it's an icky story, but Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
I remember when he got caught doing whatever he was doing in that car with that gal? I mean, he instantly went on and mea culpa'd all over the place, and frankly, I bought it. Now, I don't know what his personal life has been like since, but I thought that was a fairly courageous thing to do, just go up and say, yeah, I did it, and oh my gosh, shame on me. That's difficult to do. That's difficult to do at home.
Yeah, or in your community.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, what if you have anything that happens? You got a DUI, you have something else, you know, something bad happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is so public in today's day and age. And so
instinct is to just hide, isn't it? I mean, isn't the normal human instinct to just say, oh, gosh, if I pull the blanket over my head, nobody will know?
Well, in the old days, you could do that. You know, you think about how it used to be in the media. Media didn't publicize negative stories about celebrities. And then they started getting a little, you know, ballsy with it. And now with social media, with the way that, I mean, there's, you know, everybody's life is public. It doesn't matter who you are. So really stepping into who you are, what your values are, and centering yourself at the beginnings of your career, at the middle of your career, at a time when something's not gone well, is important. It's a win-win. Yeah. It's a win. Well, it's a win-win-win-win-win. It's a win for you and your career. It's a win for your financial future. It's a win for your fans. It's a win for you being a mentor. And it's a win in your personal life because who you're being is truly authentic. And, you know, a lot of people make a lot of different mistakes. You know, Hugh, it was, you know, what you would consider a sexual mistake in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tiger Woods is a prime example of number one, how bad it can get and how lonely you can feel behind the public persona. And for that, I'm thinking, what if the first woman he had actually had chosen to see was a therapist instead of who he was deciding to share his emotional part with? And, you know, what if he had
I don't think that was what he was sharing.
Well, but oftentimes we all can look back and see ways that we've dealt with negativity in our life and go, geez, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I wished I had faced what it is I'm doing. And that's why I love the work that I do. I really liberate people from those horrible things that happen in life and allow them to step in their own light courageously and have the self-confidence. And I tell you, there's no more difficult journey than celebrity. So one of the questions I have is like, you know, let's start off with a general premise. What do you think is the stereotype that people think about when they think about a celebrity in the public eye? What are the stereotypes of what they think that life is really like?
I have to tell you, I'm the worst person to ask. I watch so little TV. I really don't know. I'm going to let you just kind of answer that one yourself.
Well, it's glamorous. It's catered to, you're maybe spoiled and entitled.
Okay.
You have everything you want. Your personal life is fantastic. And if it's not, you can just replace that person and add somebody else to your life. Everything's great. And I think even fans and people who look towards celebrities believe that that's the case. So the problem becomes, people who are striving for celebrities think it's that way. And the fans, when they view the celebrities, they think it's that way. And it's not that way at all.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, it seems to me like if you're living that life, and I'm just guessing because I really am not a celebrity watcher by any stretch of the imagination, but it would seem to me that you are living life very much in a fishbowl. You're constantly surrounded by people that you can or can't trust. And you're being buffeted on all sides by your fans, by your family, you know, by cameras. I just don't see how people can stand that. To me, the stress would be enormous. It doesn't sound fun to me, I'll be honest.
Yeah. And there are many parts of it that are not fun, especially if you take the stereotypical role as a celebrity and let others navigate and direct your career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you even said it earlier, when you talk about celebrity, you think of managers and agents that are really directing someone's career, that the celebrity is not. They just kind of show up for what they need to. They're told where to go, oftentimes what to say. And, you know, unfortunately, I think young people, especially coming into celebrity, assume that role because it's kind of designed business-wise that they're going to come in and they feel that maybe they're the least sophisticated to understand how to navigate that. That is the first stereotypical idea that we just get rid of and dispose of, because it really is that young person. It's their career, their legacy, their family, their position in the public eye, and young people know it, you know, in their teens. I mean, these are young people who give up a lot of their childhood to continue to work on their craft. They're very directed. They work very hard, and they, because of that, and because of who they are and what their goals are, they have very concrete ideas about what kind of person they want to be in the public eye. And the second they step away from that, that's when things start to deteriorate.
Oh. And see, while you were describing that person, I instantly thought of ice skaters. you know, to me, they are so driven. I love to watch the Winter Olympics because of the ice skating. And I watch those kids and, you know, I look at their backstory and I'm astonished by how dedicated they are, how focused they are.
Absolutely. You know, they're young professionals starting out very
mm-hmm.
early. But this very interesting factoid, Dorothy Hamill is one of those athletes that went broke and bankrupt at the end of her career. And I think there was like a top 10 list, top 20 list. And I first off go, oh, I remember the hairstyle because I saw her picture. And
yeah, the little bob.
You know, yeah. Was spinning
she was
around.
So cute.
And she ended up bankrupt and having a lot of difficulty at the end of her career. So, you know, I think that speaks not only financially, but also the work that you do, the branding that you do, you know, for yourself is critical. And it's critical to begin to brand yourself as an identity, as who you are, separate from the companies that you represent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you know, you work with people all the time.
Right.
And young people have definite ideas. And what I help career-wise to do for them is to step into that and make sure that they understand, first off, that they're the CEO of everything that's going on. Their age doesn't matter. Their financial acumen doesn't matter. But their vision does. And the minute they step away from their vision and adopt somebody else's vision for them, that's when the spiral happens. And ultimately, in the end, it can be the financial spiral where you're jobless, bankrupt, and, you know, the opportunity that you can't work again, you know,
yeah.
you can't do anything again, and that you have no money is very shocking. But, you know, as we've talked about, to the tune of almost 80% with professional athletes, that's going to be the outcome at the end of their career.
And
so
horrible.
And that's what I'm going about to change. And I'm changing an industry. I'm empowering the athlete, empowering the celebrity so that they can really steer this crazy ride and have the education and the career tools to manage it very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what I do.
And I think it's brilliant because they need it. And I see young actors occasionally that I'll think, I hope you're saving your money. I really do. I mean, I really do, because you're going to be, Justin Bieber is one of them. You know, I'm not a fan of his music, but I visit Daily Mail UK quite a bit, and that poor little kid is having a serious meltdown, and every time I see him with his little panties hanging down to his knees, I keep thinking, I hope you're saving money, honey. I really do. Have you seen pictures of that kid recently? He is not right, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a change in how he appears publicly and what he's choosing to do publicly.
You know,
another person to talk about is Miley Cyrus, kind of how she's changed
same
her
thing.
Image.
Then
the question becomes, even if you look at it, and I put no judgment, you know, I know it's a difficult ride. I know there's things behind the scene that we all don't know.
These kids. If I were their parents, I would be scared stupid right about now.
Right. But, you know, if you stand back and you look at their careers just objectively and just planning financially for their futures and their longevities, the first question is the way that they're changing their image and their branding and their identity going to work for them in a positive way or going to work for them in a negative way? Because the reality is fans equal money. The more fans you have, the more fans that adore you, the more money and financial stability and career, the longevity of the career you're going to have. So when you look at your fan base, you have to look at maybe some of the universal messages that are important that create fans that are going to be loyal over the long term. You know, what are some of those universal messages that fans like to see? Well, you know, doing work for others, charity work, that's really important. Fans like to see that. They like to see the heart behind the image that they adore.
Right.
Oftentimes, that celebrity and that belief that life can be better can take an individual from a very difficult decision in their, position in their own life and give them the strength to transcend that. That is really an important role that celebrities have. And many celebrities, even celebrities going through difficulties periodically, really care about mentoring others. You know, some of the best celebrities I've worked with, even some of the celebrities I've worked with publicly, have said to me, you know, being a role model is a very difficult thing. How do I do that? That really has a lot of weight. And the younger the celebrity is, the more difficult that seems to be, the more, you know, personal energy they put into it and think about it and are, you know, sometimes scared of how they mentor other people and their fans. And I find that extremely heartwarming, and I think it's wonderful. And it's a great job, and it's really step by step, you know. Right. And we can map it all out. There's a plan. There's a flow chart to it, and then there's the ease and the relaxation, and now you can worry about something else in your career, and then we'll look at that and see how to navigate that. So much of what I do is not the traditional therapy. You know, it's not somebody in crisis and we're trying to bring them back up to a normal state. It's a normal individual, a well-functioning individual who is now taking their life to almost, you know, superstar status. And how you take that individual and that road that is very difficult and navigate that well, that's the work that I do. And it's awesome.
And it seems to me, Carla, that you have mentioned that you know, a big part of what you do with these athletes and celebrities and your clientele, basically, is that you walk them through life, you know, essentially, how to handle your money, you know, where to put your trust, how to take control of your own life. I mean, the money is a big, big, important part of it. You know, and you're right. I mean, I see so many celebrities that, I mean, they are running through that money, and you have to know that at some point they're going to just tick everybody off and their album sales are going to disappear, or they're going to get hurt playing a game and they can't play much longer. I think, and this is just my observation, but I think a lot of these people don't understand that there's a shelf life to everything,
mm-hmm.
darn near, unless you're Paul Newman. And, you know, even
yeah.
he couldn't outlive, you know, outrun death. But, you know, I think they don't understand that you have to live life in the here and now and live it for all it's worth, but make plans for later on, too.
Yeah,
at least
and
that's
make
what I'm
seeing. Supplemental plans. And, I mean, you bring up a great
right.
example with Paul Newman. I mean, look at his food line. I was going through Costco the other day, and, you know,
I like
seen Paul Newman. Yeah. So
he has great salad dressings.
Yeah, I know. He's a prime example of taking your brand and having one career and transforming mm-hmm. that into something else, a completely different career. You know,
right.
something that really just chaps my hide is when people think, oh, you need a plan B. They talk about a plan B. It's not a plan B. It's you're creating multiple options for your career. You're looking at, you know, different things. Like, you know, Manio and I mean, my first thing to Manio, which I think is obvious to everyone, is what about politics? What about politics after your athletic
mm-hmm.
career?
Right.
You're very civically minded. You know, you're just a great mentor. So developing that now as he's 25 and at the height of his athletic career is important. It's not the what typical parent, you know, you think about the typical parents. Well, you got to have a plan B. You know, you got to go to college, get a college education. And if this career doesn't go right, then you have something, not exciting, but you can fall back on it. That's not exciting to anyone to hear it that
no.
way. The reality is.
Even I twinge. It's like, ooh.
I'm reminded of some, you know, lectures I got when I was younger. But,
yeah.
but you know, the reality is, it's like, oh, you can have this amazing sports or celebrity career. It's going to last for basically the blink of an eye. And then
mm-hmm.
what else do you love to do? What else would you like to do? I have young people tell me, oh, I'd like a career in finance, or I'd like a career as a journalist, or I would like, the things that they already know that they love to do, we start
right.
developing when they're 18 and 20 years old. So rather than looking at it from a point of fall from grace, if you can't be the professional athlete, then, you know, you can be a CEO. That would be terrible. We look at it as, wow, you can be a celebrity, you can be an athlete, and you can be a CEO of a financial company of products that you love. Let's create your brand and your identity now. You know, so what that you rep Nike or you rep some of these other places? Keep your brand, and this is the biggest secret I can offer, keep your identity brand as uniquely you, so you are representing Nike. Because the reality is you may actually become larger than Nike. You may actually become. I mean, let's look at Magic Johnson. Let's look at Michael Jordan.
Right, right.
You know.
The Air Jordans. Even I know what those are. And I don't know much.
Well,
I mean,
and,
that's
and
a reach. I mean, he can. That brand just reaches out and grabs. It goes everywhere. I don't know what those shoes are. I wouldn't wear them. Don't have any interest. But by golly, I recognize that name.
Well, and the interesting thing is when you think of them, you then think of 20 to 30 different products they've repped, projects they've been involved in, media. So what happens is when you think of you know, wonderful celebrities like that, who they are is the first thing you think about. And then secondarily, you think about all the products that they've created, represented, been a part of. And when a young person looks at that in their career, in fact, I'm going to share a personal story with you. You know, Manny and I were, you know, talking back and forth about branding and, you know, where his career is going to go, what his interests are. Several television shows have been looking at him. And so, you know, there's just a lot of excitement. And I was there at ground zero from when he was transitioning from being an athlete to the celebrity and how his life just exploded as far
it
as
it did very quickly, too.
Yeah. And so, excuse me. So one of the things
we both did at the same time.
Yeah, probably. That's good. But one of the things we talked about is, you know, if we're going to create a brand for you, how are we going to do that? And so we were talking about ideas back and forth, web page ideas. And, you know, one of the things we talked about was what, Manio Metro USA. And I said, you know, the reality is since you have been in the Olympics, you're actually limiting your brand by putting USA behind it because you're actually global now. You know, you're not
that's
just
true.
USA.
That's a very good point.
You're not just Olympic. And now, with his affiliation with Michelle Obama, he's definitely global. And so it, even something, you know, like a nuance like that can really change how you market yourself from the beginning of your career. So making
Manny
sure
Mitchell
you know,
International.
Yeah, man of me. No, that was already taken.
You are kidding me.
Oh, that's Austin Powers. He's my international man of mystery. But, yeah, it's, you know, it becomes interesting, but it also becomes very fun. And then the thing you think about, and I'm going to use him as a great example, and I know he wouldn't mind this, and what we're talking about is just the public work I do, just so you know, because I am a clinical therapist. I do work behind the scenes, and that is never discussed. I'm governed by HIPAA. I'm like a medical doctor that you come to see. That's the most important part about the job I do. But of the public things that we do, you know, when you think about the options he's going to have in his career, a political career, maybe a merchandising product career, it becomes really exciting to now he's really directing it and the values he's got involved in it. And that empowers an athlete to then go back and say to their manager, to their agent, or to a deal, no, I think we should do it this way. Not from a spoiled point of view, not from trying to get something that is self-serving, self-gratifying at the expense of others, but in a very powerful way within their career to start directing it early and really start directing their staff. Their staff is their agent. Their staff is their PR people. And to really take the leadership role, and that is really what I do, is give that individual the permission. You know, case in point, we were talking about Justin Bieber. Well, I'm totally dating myself here, but I had the biggest crush on Leif Garrett. I had his Tiger Beat posters all over my wall. That boy could dance, you know, and he just was awesome. Well, look what happened in his career. Look what
I don't even know who he is.
Oh, my God, girl.
I've never heard of it.
Everybody, a lot of girls out there, well, a lot of senior citizens like me are going, yay, let's share it.
I know so, who Charlie Daniels is. Does that help?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm not a celebrity watcher. I'm really not.
Well, he had drug issues, an unfortunate a car accident that happened. And one of the things he talked about that was the most difficult for him is two things happened. His mother stood back, and this is what they've talked about in interviews, so I'm not speaking out of turn here. His mother said that the biggest mistake she made was stepping back and letting the management team create life for Leif.
Right.
Leif said in an interview that they really tried to put him in kind of the bubblegum. His music was bubblegum. He had other stuff that he wanted to write. Now, whether he was going to be a success or failure, be an original artist, he never had that opportunity because the bubblegum way they packaged him is what ended up being the downfall of his career. So both his mother and him have said if they had been more involved in directing his career but also his personal life, he may not have experienced this horrible crash, literally and figuratively, that happened in his career and in his life. So really, parents being educated on how to properly direct their children and the young professional understanding that they really are directing this and having somebody like me to really support that career plan in the beginning can make the difference of millions and millions of dollars and a whole lot of heartache. And so that's why I'm very honored.
Yeah, and really I think you're so right because people do need somebody like you to say, you are the product, you are the brand. And I can see how it happens because, let's face it, when you're hiring a professional, you're hiring them to be a professional. You're hiring them to do, you know, the best job that they can do for you. So, I mean, of course you buy into whatever it is that they're telling you. I mean, unless you're just really kind of bloody-minded the way I am. And, you know, not everybody is. I mean, you want to believe that the people you're hiring have your best interests at heart. And I would think that most of the time they do. But unless you are really active in what it is that you, and I'm capitalizing that, are doing, I think you lose control very, very quickly. So I can see why,
absolutely,
you know, you go to a coach or you go to an agent and they're like, okay, we're going to do this. And they get excited and, you know, they can, point to all of these successes that they've had. And of course you buy into that salesmanship. They are selling them to you. I think at some point these athletes and celebrities absolutely do need somebody like you to kind of cut through the crap and say, yeah, they're...
I love that.
That's a Deniseism. You can use it.
Carla Mundley cuts through the crap.
Cut through the crap.
Like, hey, there's my new brand,
girl.
Denise. Thank you.
That's the only curse word I say out loud. But, you know, it's seriously, it's true because, look, we all sell. We all sell ourselves with our resumes when we're trying to find a new boyfriend. You know, when we're, no matter what it is, we're always selling. And I would think that these kids are very, very vulnerable to what's being sold to them. And they can't see without your help or somebody like you beyond what is being fed to them, I would think. I'm just guessing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's such a foreign environment. And that was one of the other things I wanted to bring up. I mean, if you really think about, you know, people as people. People as human beings. And I kind of, I go, you know, I'm a scientist and a researcher, probably first and foremost. But I think that the information we get about the human experience is really important. And if we kind of know that stuff, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. For example, you know, all of us have negative self-talk. It's either talk we've given ourselves, maybe a parent, or somebody said something to you at one time, and then you carry that with you your whole life. Number one, it's probably false. And number two, you believe it is true and carry it with you and then make choices in your life based on believing a lie, which I think is so unfortunate. So, you know, I get back to the human condition. Our brains are naturally wired to be negative, and we need to teach ourselves to think positively. And part of teaching ourselves to think positively is to do different actions in the world to create success. And so, you know, when I look at a human being who is in a celebrity career, beginning a celebrity career, my question always comes back to the basics. You know, who really has good self-esteem? You know, the kind of self-esteem that you can be who you are through complete and total upheaval, absolute change in everything in your environment, and an identity crisis, because that's what you're going to go through as you are evolving yourself, even into somebody newer and better. You will have a complete identity crisis. Who can handle that?
Not me. Don't we change every 7 years or something like that? Seems like I read that somewhere. Don't we kind of shed our skin and become a whole new person? I hope.
Well, maybe we can only stay in denial for 7 years, and then we finally have to face the choices we're not making and the actions not taking. So I kind of laugh about that. Sometimes denial really can be your friend. But the reality is nobody as a human being is designed to withstand that kind of total and complete stress and not have negative consequences, not make poor choices, unless they are positively supported and educated. And the reality is anybody who's outside the celebrity life does not understand. And there's a reason why I said dangerous waters, because dangerous waters signifies they're sharks. There are absolute sharks. And if you're not part of the environment, if you don't hear, you know, what is the industry scuttlebutt behind the scenes as to who's reputable, who's not, what their past performances are, and you don't have access to that information, there's no way that you can make an educated decision about the kind of professionals that you bring into your life. There's no way. You know, athletes talk about it during college all the time. You know, they see, you know, they're not supposed to be talking to agents at that point. They are advisors, is what they call them at that point, and they are bombarded, you know, with different types of people selling this kind of snake oil. Excuse me. And so how do you navigate that? The parents don't know. As the coaches, it's not their job, nor do they know a lot about that. And the young people certainly don't know. So how the heck do you navigate that?
Well, and that's just it. So, you know, what do they do? Is there any kind of push in place with colleges in particular, high school athletes and college, to maybe bring on a psychologist as a permanent part of the team? Is that a good idea?
Oh, I would love
to see psychologist?
That. Yeah. You know, I would love to see that. Is psychology, you know, especially specialized psychology.
Sports psychology, right.
You know, for example, sports, you're looking at, you know, sports psychology, what we know about performance, what we know is going to happen to the individual's personal life. And then celebrity psychology always factors into that, because a lot of college athletes are already in the public eye and, you know, developing their brand. Excuse me, Denise. And their persona.
I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, I would love to see that. You know, I would love to see
it would
coaches
make sense,
embrace
wouldn't
that.
It?
Yeah. And that's industry. Well, that's part of the industry change that I'm really proactive and a part of. I mean, you got to think about it. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, one of my most recent gigs was an appearance on Playboy Sports Radio, which I think, I know, and I cracked up.
I got the biggest kick out of that, I have to tell you.
I didn't listen to it because
it's on Sirius, right?
Yeah, well, they've now revamped and gone in a different direction. And because of that, Toy Cook and I, Toy is coming to my network at Psyched Up Radio Network, and we are doing a weekly sports show. We are still going to keep the sexy.
That
we're going to talk about, you know, and even him, you know, he had this wonderful career for 11 years. He's done some amazing political changes within the NFL that have helped players today earn money as entertainment, you know, celebrities, sports entertainment. And so, you know, he says, Carla, what you're talking about, he said, I would have loved to have had that during my career. It would have made a difference in a lot of the choices that I've made. And he said, what you're talking about now is really sexy. And I'm laughing to myself because I'm thinking, wow, sports, psych, sexy. Who knew? or who knew it would be that digestible, I think, and that important.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes sense because, I mean, it's it's career navigation. And I think so many kids, I mean, if I were a parent of one of these kids, I wouldn't know where to go. And you know, let's face it, these parents, I'm guessing here, but it seems to me like these parents are busy holding down their family, holding down their jobs, trying to help this kid or child or boy or girl, whatever it is, navigate all of this. And it seems to me like their attention is fractured. So sometimes they think it's just best to turn it over to a, you know, air quote, professional. And is that where you're seeing most of the problems come, because the parents just don't know themselves how to help?
Absolutely. And it's not in most cases. And I mean, we see, you know, celebrity parents that are maybe not the best parents or have their children's best interests at heart. Yeah. But in most cases, well, you know, that could go either way. I mean, when you look at the financials, it's been very profitable. And when you look at the longevity, it's been very profitable. So depending on the lens that you look at their careers through might depend on how you view that. But in most cases, parents are really trusting the professionals. And, you know, there's just that's, you know, it's babes in the woods at that point. And so I kind of come in as the human shield. I mean, think about it. I laugh. You know, I'm not ashamed to say I'm 47 at this point. And when, you know, I come to L.A. with this dream of really changing the environment for athletes and young celebrities and people that are doing some really amazing work in the world, I come in to help support that and just to help support their careers, their identities, and really what they want to do in the world. And, you know, one of the side benefits to that is at 47, I'm Hugh Hefner approved, which I think is just totally hysterical. That just cracks me up. And not only am I Hugh Hefner approved, I have an important message. And the meaning of my message and the support to careers and young people, it became really, really important. And that, for me, was the most exciting thing. And so I'm living the same thing I'm saying. It's like, wow, you don't know what kind of career opportunities or what kind of podiums are going to be offered for you for the meaningful work that you do in the world. And that's what I love about this kind of public career. I've experienced it myself. And, you know, I remember when Toy called me, he was out jogging, so he was out of breath. I thought he was having a heart attack. And so he calls me and he goes, "Hey, girl," you know, and I went, "Playboy, are you kidding me?" And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, that's awesome that my message can go out into an environment that's going to educate a really important group of people. And you know, I'm like, okay, well, they want the feminist. This is cool. You know, what kind of difference can I make? And, you know, that was really fun. But if I had planned for that, I would have never guessed that would have happened in my career.
Well, and that goes back to something that you said at the top of the show, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but not putting your eggs all in one basket. That's not what you said, but that's what I heard. So I'm going back to two points at the top of the show. But, I mean, you could, in another world, be sitting very quietly in your office and doing what you do, and nobody would really hear of you except, I'm guessing, word of mouth from, you know, referrals from the athletes that you help. Instead, you chose to go out in a very public way and get your message out to a whole variety of channels, which I think is brilliant.
Thank you
so
for
what
that.
What led you to that choice, though? I mean, what led you from sitting quietly and just, you know, helping people out and hanging your shingle out, handing your business cards out, doing it, you know, kind of the normal route, to going, I am going to burst on the scene and I am going to get this message out to as many people as I possibly can? I think we've talked about this a tad in the past, but what is that backstory? Because I think it's fascinating how you came from doing, you know, what you were doing to being where you are now. Because that was a leap, wasn't it? It was a big leap of faith.
Yeah, you know, it's been a very rocky road. The backstory is, you know, riddled with, you know, trauma and unrealized dreams and, you know, really for me getting back to what my most important values were. And I laugh because anybody who's listening to this and actually knows me hears the word normal and Carla Lundblad in one sentence. They're just rolling over laughing right now. And I think, you know, that's a great question, and I've not been asked that question before, and I appreciate it, because it really gets back to my advocacy for others. I'm, you know, pretty tall. I developed early. When I was 11, I looked 17. And there's a whole bunch of stories involved there. I won't go into those. But, you know, I never understood the whole bully thing. Like, even when, and I was usually bigger than everybody else. And I would watch a bully pick on maybe a very physically small child, because that's kind of how you rate things when you're young. And I just grab that, you know, guy or girl by the hair and just say, this is not okay. And then the other thing I realized is I would look around at all the other kids, and almost without exception, the other kids wouldn't step in and stop it. And that just quite frankly pissed me off.
You and me both. I saw the same thing in school. And I was always the one that, there was this one bully, honestly, and I have to share this quickly. He was just the nastiest kid, and if he's still alive, he's a serial killer or in jail. He was nasty. And he was fat, which, you know, was kind of unusual back in the day. And he was just an awful, awful person. He didn't pick on me because I was 5'7" and kind of bitchy. Let's just say, I had my own space and I had this bubble around me. And if you mess with me, I'd mess right back with you. I just didn't tolerate it well, even when I was very, very young. And he was picking on one of my siblings one day, and I had it. My sibling would not, one of my brothers, just took it. And I said, that's it. And at some point, and I don't know when I made the decision, but I lowered my head, and I made a fast sprint at him, and I headbutted him right in the stomach, knocked him over, and he never messed with any of us ever again.
That's an awesome
And I was
story.
About 12 years old. I was not bullied. let me leave it right there. I was not. I don't get it. I don't understand why people take it. I don't.
Well, and there needs to be a force in the world for positive that stands up in, quite frankly, as aggressive way as negative bullying and, you know, others who are interested in taking advantage. And, you know, that's really what it came back. And I saw this huge problem in sports. And then meanwhile, because I'm married to a former professional athlete, and we did volunteer work for Dusty Baker and some other agencies and organizations, you know, the work really found me, you know, and I went, wow, sports psych. I go back to the research. There's a ton of stuff there. And I'm seeing a whole group of people that are failing to almost 80%. And I'm like, something's not right with the system.
Yeah.
What can I do to help empower individuals to have the best lives, which in turn empower the rest of us with really great mentorship? So, you know, for me, it's about empowering the athlete or the celebrity. They in turn step into their own greatest life, which part of that is giving back. And then potentially millions of people can benefit from what maybe I humbly started in changing an industry the way it's viewed now. And, you know, for example, you can find me at CarlaLundblade.com. But more importantly, if you're so inclined, please friend request me at Facebook. You know, I'm such a Facebook girl. You already know that.
You are.
But most recently, I tell the story on my wall of being student council president my senior year of high school. And I recently, completely surprised, I got a letter from a gentleman named Steve Dixon, who was my vice president. And during my reign, or my presidency, probably more appropriately, we had done a lot of community outreach, especially for kids who were maybe at risk of dropping out, because people weren't looking at that time in history, which was the 80s, you know, and we really did that. And as a result, earned the American Legion's Award for Patriotism. And I still carry that medal with me today. I was, you know, 16 and 17 during my high school senior year, and I still carry that medal because it reminds me of who I am and what's most important. And Steve has a political career. You'll see a picture of him sitting on the stage with Arnie. And I included his letter. And he talked about, which I just thought was amazing, he said, from me, he learned confidence without arrogance, and the power of making friends. And I'm thinking, if I had that kind of impact at 16 and 17, he also said he's not surprised that I'm doing the work I'm doing. And so the career is fabulous, everything's fabulous, but it gets down to the primary purpose of my existence, and it really is to better the lives of other people, and that the work I do in the world benefits not me necessarily, but a larger population. And many pro athletes and many celebrities, that is also their vision, but there is no direction on how to do it. So not only do I direct careers on how to do it, I look at the evidence research of how to do it, and I live it every day.
And I think that's so important, because when you are talking with these people and they come to you, you can point to yourself as proof positive. You are living it. So it's
absolutely
not just a sales pitch. You are living what you are telling them that they can be doing for them for themselves.
Absolutely. I think, you know, role modeling is a huge part of mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, statistically we know that. Psychologically we know that. And, you know, in my role modeling, you know, my very first thing that I say is perfection is in the imperfection.
Say that again because it has to soak in. I am a perfectionist.
Perfection.
A recovering
is,
perfectionist.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll work on that.
I'm lying.
I know. I'm a professional. I can see right through that.
Yeah, I figured I'd just say it straight out.
Perfection is in the imperfection. So
explain that one, Lucy.
Really, if you really want to be perfect, and if you really want to be the perfect perfectionist, then you have to let in imperfection. You have to let in those stumbling blocks. You have to let in the grace in yourself as you're learning something and maybe looking like a public idiot doing it.
Ouch.
But if you're kind to yourself, you have grace, you allow yourself to learn and come back. You know, one of the most powerful mentors we have in the world is the underdog that made it. That is just universal. A human condition. We love, you know, Sinbad. Remember the old stories of Sinbad? He had to go out and find
right.
his destiny. You know, we've had great celebrities in the public eye that have come forward in very graceful, humble ways to talk about, you know, maybe what they did, how they could have made different decisions, the better decisions that they're making now. And people listen to that and go, wow,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe, you know, because Tiger Woods talked about going and getting some emotional education and emotional support to kind of see what went wrong.
Right.
The other people in their lives who are sitting there imploding their lives, maybe nobody knows about it, maybe their partner doesn't even know about it, they're like going, wow, you know, if Tiger Woods can come forward as honestly as he did and as openly as he did, maybe I'll give a call to that therapist and figure out what's going on. You know,
right,
maybe I'll do something more positive. So
you know, it's so funny. Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, we're talking across each other because you're on an iPhone. I'm sorry. Keep on going.
That's okay.
It's your fault.
It's not. I think the most important thing to me about mentorship of a public figure mm-hmm. is the private message that people take in their lives and utilize. Oprah is a prime example of how a public message can help people privately in their lives improve their lives. So it's not the public things and the public accolades. It's the message that you're able to give from a public forum that helps that person crying in their bedroom, afraid to leave their house, or whatever's going on with them,
mm-hmm.
where they feel they have the hope. And I think that's the best part of this day and age and social media and the wonderful opportunities that we have to experience history and improvement in our life in very real time with very real information. It's the first time as human beings we've had these options, and I just think it's fascinating and wonderful.
It really is. And, you know, I'm talking with a potential client now who is writing a book. He's in the fitness industry, and I mean, he's doing pretty well, but he wants, of course, to take his message out. I would love for him to chat with you. His book is going to be called From Felony to Fitness. I mean, he's just putting it all
awesome.
Out there. Isn't it? When he told me that, I went, what? Tell me the story. So he did. And I said, so you're just putting it all out there. And he said, yes, I am. I said, good for you. So I'm going to introduce you to, I don't know what's going on in his life right now, but I think there'd be some great synergy between you two.
You know, and I think that's fabulous. And think about the people that a title like that will speak to. You
oh,
know,
it grabbed me right away. I went, what's he talking about? And then when he told me his story, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's going to be redemption is exactly what I came away with from it. I mean, I got that from the title.
Yeah. And he puts together a step-by-step program or process just by talking about himself and where he's come from and where he's going. He gives a step-by-step process for others who are wanting to do the same thing for themselves. And how great is that? You know,
and
we don't live in a vacuum anymore.
Right. I believe that is his goal. You know, he wants people to understand that you can make these really egregious mistakes when you're young. And he was very young when he did these things. I mean, he didn't kill anybody, but, you know, he made some mistakes. And he came out of it, and he made a deliberate, from what I'm understanding, a deliberate effort to change his life and change his perspective and become the person that he has always wanted to be, rather than just say, well, you know, I've now got this title, Fallon. I might as well just go ahead and live it. I mean, he did not do that. And I think the story is going to be an amazing story.
Well, it is. And when I hear that as a therapist, I'm like, okay, what life events happened so that those choices at that time in your life seem like the best choices? And I guarantee you that's a very riveting backstory. You know, as I say, with every client I sit down and talk about, it is the most fascinating movie. It's going to have twists and turns that I have no idea where it's going to go, and ultimately it will be a happy ending as there's movement towards, you know, positive things and empowerment in their own life. And the chair that I sit in is just, you remember the old movie, The Man with X-Ray Eyes, you know, he could, you know, it was 1950s movie, and he could see through society and different, and it drove him crazy in the end, but that's not the part I'm concerned about. I have this really unique position in life where people will sit with me and be blatantly real. And I think sometimes someone thinks when they come to a therapist's office that they're broken, they're less than. I truly sit there in complete honor. They're a warrior already. The fact that they're stepping in my life and saying, Carla, I've made it as far as I can with what I know. I need to learn something more. I need to change something that happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They're a warrior. I sit there in service to them, and I'm just amazed. And then when the personal stories unfold in ways that you could never guess, it is the most riveting moment. It's a movie, and I feel so blessed and so honored that I can help people in that way, because oftentimes just paying, you know, being witness to what has happened and how they're growing is what causes the important change in their lives. And I'm just so honored to do the work that I do.
And at the end of the day, you're helping them create a legacy, aren't you? I mean, you're helping them to understand that they don't have to live in whatever they've already done. Life goes on. Life is meant to be lived. Life should be happy if you can make it happy. And let's face it, you have, I don't know about you, but I have moments during the day where I could kick walls, and then 5 minutes later, I'm playing with the dog. I think everything is in flux. But the goal should be to make it the best life that you can possibly make it. And you're there to help them with that.
There is a moment, and I never know when it happens or when it's going to happen, but it will happen for the individual where they kind of, they look at me and they smile, and the paradigm shift has happened. And in basics, what they say at that moment is, wow, I really can have the life I want. I really have been holding myself back. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't the past trauma. It wasn't family. It's when they get that moment when the change is within them. They're too busy thinking about other people's control over them, and we all do that. But they see the change in them that can happen, and that the work is completely within their control. Because human beings love control. That's part of what we do.
Yeah.
We try to control everything. We analyze and control. We overthink. And to know that positive change is completely with an individual's control, when that smile is kind of like a, you know, like a dumb little grin, like, I'll be darned. I really can do this. And
I figured it out.
I love that moment. Because it's based on them really getting to know themselves, the conscious parts of themselves and the unconscious. And it's awesome. It's really awesome.
I mean, that is, it's just so amazing, because on the face of it, you think, well, of course we're in charge of our own life. But until I think you make that conscious decision to be in charge of your own life, sometimes we just don't know it, do we? Sometimes it takes somebody else saying, look, it's you. It's all you. What are you going to do with it?
And in our current society, we don't support that as a viewpoint. I mean, I've heard time and time again that Americans are self-indulgent. They look at, you know, based on other cultures, they serve themselves. The reality is we really don't. We're still, we're still indoctrinating people with people-pleasing, do what other people want for yourself, step away from what you like and do what you feel you have to do. You know, we still do that. You know, we're designing people-pleasers, and I'm trying to, you know, kind of bust that cycle up. And, you know, maybe we're at a time in history where we can look at individuals and allow them to label themselves, where they can choose how they identify themselves, you know, based on their ethnicity or their orientation or their likes or their dislikes. You know, for example, I loved auto shop. And, you know, that just kind of blows some people away. I remember I pulled up to an auto parts store at a Ford Pinto, if you can imagine. And I pulled up. Ford Pinto.
Did it run?
Yeah. It had a great stereo. But it was a Ford Pinto.
I had a friend who bought one deliberately. It's like, look at this, this, what did they call it? Not a legacy car, antique car. What do you call that? Anyway, he said, look at this
crap
car. Yeah, I said, that's a Pinto. What are you going to do with that? Put it on blocks in your driveway? Seriously, are you going to try to drive that thing? It's like,
well, mine was hopped up, too. It had big tires in the back. It was hilarious. But what was funny is a runout. I mean, there's not many moving parts. Even I could figure it out. And so here I am in Southern California, early 20s, like maybe 20, 21 years old, short, tank top. I show up at this auto parts store, rip out my alternator with greasy hands. I put it on the counter and say, hey, give me a cord for this, and I need a new alternator. I put the alternator in. Start it up, it runs like a top, slam the hood down and take off. And literally, I'm not kidding, there's no less than 15 men from 20 to 80, you know, that are standing there with their mouth hanging open just going, I can't even believe I saw that. One guy said, that's a beer commercial.
They could have put you in a magazine.
I fixed my husband's car when we were first dating. That was Sparkle Bars, but that's a different thing. So the thing is the ability to be uniquely who you are and really celebrate what makes you an individual, I think is the societal shift we really need to focus to, because that's where the real magic is, and that's where we as a society all benefit. You know, from individuals who step into the best messages that they want to bring to other people in their lives. And I think each one of us, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter where we live, that's probably the most important message, is I want to give you the strength to do what it is, to live your best dreams. And even if you get static in your family, which has happened to me, gosh, I can't even tell you about the mother and the mother-in-law sagas that I've been through as I've developed my careers. But even under the adversity of your family, follow what it is you're going to do. And you may be surprised that the people within your lives that are the biggest problems for you may end up being your biggest fans and biggest supporters. And you just need to do what's best for you, what's best for your family, your immediate family, and follow that dream. And it can be very difficult from outside influences, the inside influences. I think I was talking about maybe some of the secret problems that you can deal with in a celebrity career can come from people that you think are going to be your biggest support. But they may have the most difficult time with you changing and evolving. And that's okay.
It is.
You've got your work
just
to do.
Right. And it's not just celebrities that experience this. In my industries, you know, I've got this very active Facebook group for virtual assistants and OBMs, online business managers. And one of the most common questions or observations or just kind of sharing that I see on that page is, my family doesn't get what I'm doing. Should I go get a job? They don't understand. And it's a constant source of friction for a lot of people, because it is a difficult, you know, kind of industry to understand. People don't really understand that, you know, you're building a business. You have to do all these things. You've got to take your baby steps, earn your chops, learn what it is that you're doing, build your business. It takes time. And honestly, sometimes the biggest problems are within the home. The biggest
problem. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's not just celebrities. I think that is true across the board.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, there are select few messages. I mean, there's been a few messages today that are really important for me to get out there. And that is probably today the most important message is nobody expects that they're going to have friction or difficulty within mm-hmm. their family as they're striving to be, you know, what it is they think they can be. And those are the things that can derail you the most. So much of what I do is to help young people really direct their families and the friction. Life is friction. If you just got to accept it and mm-hmm. run with it. And in that friction, if you can be authentic and grateful to yourself and still follow what it is you need to do in a very humble way, you're going to have the most amazing, amazing life. And that
See,
really
you had me
is
until you
gift.
Said humble. I have a
right. I know better.
It was even kidding, and then I went, oh. Oh, well, she just lost me. But no, I know what you're saying. To me, if you can't be the authentic person that you need to be, I'm not sure what you're doing. I really don't get why I would want to be something other than what I am. Now, I do want to be the best that I can be, and my mantra has always been, and I actually borrowed this from a friend of mine, one of my angel clients, his mantra, and he's passed it on to me, is be every day, strive to be 1% better than you were the day before. That is eminently doable. But I cannot for the life of me figure out why I would want to be something that anybody else wants me to be. And to put it in the parlance of the Deep South, that ain't happening, hon.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Talk about society. And, you know, and then think about this, you know, generationally, there's different developmental stages at different ages. What if you actually get that message when you're young? You know, we didn't get that message when we were young. Well, I'm glad you did.
I may have. Well, you know, I was always big-headed, though. No, true. Ask my mom. She'll tell you. She's big-headed.
You know,
that's probably another. Do you know we stopped streaming 12 minutes ago?
I had no clue.
I just looked at my clock. Yeah. I mean, we're still recording, but we stopped streaming. I've got to get you back so we can talk about some of these things because, to me, it is so fascinating, the human part of it. We are humans. And, you know, you're right. I mean, I see a lot of people who are conforming to whatever it is that their husband wants them to do. Or what they think, you know, their family wants them to do. And they're wretched. They're wretched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate to see that. And I know you see it too.
Well, and I see it in celebrity careers. And that's what I find most interesting. So it's not just the business side, but it's definitely the personal side. And it's the way it is. And so there are the statistical dangers that we all know in a career, you know, that you're evolving and changing into. But there are also the secret dangers, and those are more the intimate side of mm-hmm. your life and the people involved. And that's really, that's the next direction of the message. I think that would be a really neat message to talk about and to talk about.
To.
How you navigate that, because, man, nothing can bust you in the chops harder than a family member, you know, just totally pummeling your dream or pummeling who you are as you try to develop yourself. And, you know, there's almost no talk about that. And I think there needs to be.
I think so, too.
And there needs to be support.
Yeah, and I would love to make that the topic of our next conversation. Because, I mean, let's face it, you want to, you know, we're conditioned to people please. Most of us, we're conditioned to definitely want to please the people who are close to us. You know, our mother, our father, you know, siblings, aunts, uncle. I mean, friends, you know, very close friends. Sometimes they're closer than your family is. I mean, your husband, your wife, your mate. We are conditioned at some level to listen to them and take what they say as almost gospel sometimes. Which to me is dangerous. I find that very dangerous.
I mean,
which is why I don't listen to anybody, just so anybody knows. I don't listen to anybody. I have my own little voices going on, but we can talk about that later.
Well, who doesn't, honey? You're mine. But you know, the reality is the one question we don't ask ourselves during that exchange where we're like, oh great, fine, I'll do, you know, what my family mm-hmm. thinks I should do or whatever, is
get them off
the
my back.
One question
yeah.
we need to ask ourselves is how educated are they on the topic that they're telling us, you know,
oh.
so you know.
Good
yeah.
point.
So, you know, if you've got, I'll use an example from my personal life because I'm pretty open. And, you know, and both my mother and my mother-in-law are Italian. Can you imagine?
No.
So,
God bless
so
you.
when I've gone about the change in my personal career, talking about talk the talk and walk the walk, I look at where the negativity is coming from, or at least what I perceive as negativity that's going to keep me from developing the way I know I should. And then my next question is, what authority, education, degree, experience do they have mm-hmm. as they are giving me this advice that I know I don't want to take? And without exception, I have yet, in anybody I've worked with, them say, oh, yeah, they've got a doctorate in psychology and, you know, they've
right.
been, you know, they've had experiences like Donald Trump in finance. I mean, it's always somebody who does not really know of what they speak. And when you're able to see a family mm-hmm. member have those opinions and then you see that they're not based on any kind of fact or information, it allows you to have a different perspective of them. It's not any less loving, but it
right.
is definitely
right.
more accurate. And I know that has empowered a lot of people in their lives. They say, well, my mom says I should do this and shouldn't do that. Well, what's your mom's experience? Oh, well, mm-hmm. she's been a homemaker, you know, or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, let's look at that.
Right, right.
Let's look at, is that really appropriate advice? And is it based on an important point of view, an educated point of view? And I have yet, yeah, I'm waiting for the first person to say, well, yeah, it is, and this is why, because it hasn't happened. And that's how we take
right.
advice from our family. We don't hold them to a standard of mm-hmm. actually being educated when they give it.
And you said something so important, is an educated point of view.
Yeah.
You know, is it just a conversational gambit? Is it, you know, something that they just think might be true, but can they actually back it up? So you're right. I think once you extrapolate out what is really true from what is just well-meaning advice, big, big difference.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So I hadn't thought of it like that. Thank you for sharing that. I think that is so, so important.
My pleasure.
We are way out of time. This happens to us every single time. There's a reason, because we have so much to talk about. But listen, you've got to come back, and I would love to, you know, we've got several topics I think that we would, you know, need to cover, but your message is so important. Tell people, and I'm losing my voice, here we go. Tell people again where they can find you on the internet.
I'm at CarlaLundblad.com, and I'm going to tell you when you do a search. I'm pretty easy to find, but I'm very proud of the fact that I've come back into my local community in Oregon, and I've set up a second practice location with the emphasis being on community outreach and helping
that.
In my local community. So you're going to find a couple of web pages. I also have a specialty on fertility. That's a whole other story. I have some great personal experience in that regard. That would be an interesting show. So you're going to
mm-hmm.
find a few web pages. You can contact me at any of them, and I would be delighted to hear from you. Any Facebook ads, you can find me at Carla Lundblad at Facebook. I would really love. I've got some great, wonderful people that I've had great banter with. You can see the comedy along the way and just the real loving acceptance of everybody on their own terms. And I just really enjoy, you know, what I've been able to create to help others. So you can find me. I would enjoy hearing from you.
Well, Carla, you are such a brilliant guest. I love having you as a guest. And I know our audience appreciates it as much as I do. And I really, really, really want you to come back again soon.
I love being a recurring. It sounds like I'm a virus. I'm a recurring guest, and I'm very honored. Very honored, and I love every time we sit down and talk together.
Oh, thank you so much. I do too. I mean, I walk around and go, whoa, that was so cool. Now, that's just Southern for hot diggity dog. It's like, we just have the best don't. We really do. I mean, I think that you always give our audience such great information. And I'll be honest with you, I come away every single time I talk with you and going, you know, I think I knew that, but she put it so brilliantly and so succinctly that now I can actually articulate it myself. And that happens every time.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I know. Well, listen, thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and the fabulous Carla Lundblad wishing you a wonderful weekend. You can find us in iTunes as well. Just type in either one of our names. And I will see you next week. Carla, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, dear.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.